Let's talk about Israel and God's plan. Basically following the outline of Forster and Marston here, and adding a little bit, and probably taking away a little bit too, but the book is God's Strategy in Human History. And they begin by talking about all the difficulty in wrapping our minds around the types of arguments and opponents that Paul continually encountered in his day. Many of the Pharisees, scribes, and rabbis were completely sold out to the idea that works were the ticket to heaven. And these guys truly thought that they could become holy and achieve salvation through their works of the law. I know you've heard that a lot, but they truly believe that. They probably hated Paul because of what he was teaching, and that, of course, was the gospel. But there's a lot more to it than just that. Paul taught that they, the rabbis, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and Israel, was chosen only because that's what God chose to do in His own purposes, and not because of anything about them that was special in any way. At least we don't know of anything that's special about them in any way, but the Bible's pretty clear about this. He chose them because He chose them. That's it. And also, He chose to allow individuals from any nation, not just Israel, to be saved simply through repentance and faith. The thought that God gave unmerited favor or grace prompted them to question Paul, and the main question, of course, that we've been kind of going around and talking about directly is that question of, is there then unrighteousness with God? And Paul, of course, answers no. And then in Romans 9:15 and 16, and that particular set of verses is referring to an incident that came from Exodus 33. Let me read the Romans 9 passage. Romans 9:15 says, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." Verse 16, "So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." And what that refers to is what was going on, as I said, back in Exodus 33:19, but in Exodus 32:7-10, the Lord tells Moses that the rebellious Israelites have corrupted themselves, and that He will destroy them and make a great nation of Moses. Verse 7 of chapter 32, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" He's going to start all over from what he was telling to Moses there. But Moses pleaded with God to spare Israel, and God spared Israel because they were, not because they were so righteous or had done good works of the law, And we find this in Exodus 32, 34, where it says that their sin will still be visited upon them. It says, "But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for your sin." And the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. So he did go ahead, even in spite of Moses pleading with him. Hebrews 3:19, these are all references to the same occasion, says that that generation was not able to enter in to the promised land because of their unbelief. Now, any sparing that God did was because of God's whole plan, which started with Abraham. So, for Moses, there was no use to pray to be blotted out on their behalf. They were the ones who were blotted out, not Moses. Even though God has no delight in the death of the wicked, which we learn from Ezekiel 18:23 and 33:11, but Moses interceded for the people. That's kind of what we want to focus on, and how all that went down, and what God did because of it. So in Exodus 33:12 through 19, Moses intercedes for the people after the golden calf incident. Exodus 33:12 reads, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, I have said, I have known you by name, and you also have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people.'" As if God had forgotten that. "And he said, 'My presence shall go with you,'" back to Moses, "'and I will give you rest.' And he said to him," I'm sorry, yeah, that was what God said to him. "Then he said to him," Moses said to God, "'If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? It is not, or rather, is it not by your going with us so that I and your people, that is, may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth?' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor or grace in my sight, and I have known you by name.' Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.' And he said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord.'" And here's the thought we're going to be dealing with here in the next few minutes, and probably the rest of this article. The Lord said, "Will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I show compassion." So there's your context of the Romans 9 passage and the situation there, and how that took place, and where the statement about God having compassion on whom he will have compassion is made, that is recited by Paul, or recounted by Paul in chapter 9. He will have mercy. This is not Romans 9:15 again. I'm trying to make this clear, but I'm not sure if it's going to be exactly clear to you. But it's hard to do in a study like this. So I keep giving you the references. But Romans 9:15 says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So that's the statement that is perhaps the crux of everything that we're going to say from here on out. But that the significance of this statement is that Moses interceded for the people who had made the golden calf. God's angry with them, is going to take them out, rid the earth of them. Moses prays. He himself asks to be blotted out if God would spare the Israelites. And God says, no, that's not going to work. So God is gracious to Moses, and he adds a statement that he'll be gracious to whom he will be gracious. His graciousness took the form of Moses going down among the people so that they would not be consumed. If God had gone down among them, they would have been consumed. So God, from that point forward, was going to do things in an indirect way. Not exactly as Moses prayed or desired, but God was going to go as far as he possibly could to answer Moses' prayer, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the Israelites would be shaped through a mediator, that is Moses in this case. And their sin was what made it impossible for God to do it like Moses wanted it to be done. You see, Moses is talking about his relationship with the Lord, and he is trying to pull some strings, basically, for Israel. And God says, I can't do it like you want me to do it. So this statement, then, that I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, is God saying to Moses, I know best how to distribute my favor. Moses, however, like Abraham, doesn't understand God's battle strategy. He was shaping Israel's destiny, and he's doing it through Moses. Moses then is a Messiah, an anointed one, or a type of Jesus. God was shaping them in an indirect way, not in the more direct fashion that Moses may have wanted. Here's another case of Father knows best. Now, for us, the relevancy in one way is that we may be pleading with God to do something that he himself wants to do, but which is impossible due to sins in one party or the other. It would not have been good for God to answer the mere prayer of Abraham for Sodom, for example, to spare the city if there were 10 righteous men found there. If God had answered that one literally, Lot would have died along with the others. This is just an example. Instead, God answered the heart of Abraham, or his desire, and he did not destroy the righteous along with the wicked. You find that information in Genesis 18:23. I mean, God could have answered his prayer literally, and there would be no Lot. But as it was, God heard the intent of Abraham's prayer and handled it as he did historically. Had God answered Moses' prayer per se, the Israelites would have been consumed in the occasion we're citing. But God answered Moses' prayer as far as it was possible, and according to, I would say, either the desires or the intent of Moses' heart. And even then, when Moses goes down among them, he has to go down among them wearing a veil. So I'm going to quit right there, honestly. I think that's enough for one day. And we'll pick up with the idea that God's strategy in human history, Israel's history, our history, any history, is not determined by us. So until then, the Lord is gracious to us in this way, and he allows us to see one another again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Have a good rest of your day.